And I'd go out in the woods somewhere and I'd find me a cedar tree and, you know, 10, 11, 12, all the way till the time I was about 18. I'd do that every Christmas. And that brings back a lot of memories smelling that cedar tree. And I hope y'all have good memories too. A lot of bad memories too, but that's one of the good ones. But I want to talk to you today about everybody's working on Christmas and I want to show you how to make room for Jesus. A lot of people leave him out. We did. We didn't have a Christian home. Even after my mama got saved, went to church, we still didn't really have a Christian home. And me and my brother still didn't go to church. And we didn't know what Christmas was. I was in a Christmas play in the first or second grade. I can't remember really, but they made me Joseph in the Christmas play at school because I was the tallest boy in the class. And we, back then you had big auditoriums, you know, and a big stage. And I remember, we didn't have bathrobes. One of the teachers had to bring me a bathrobe so I'd look like Joseph, you know. And he wrapped a towel around my head and gave me a stick. And I stood there and I looked real good for about 5 minutes. And I, of course, I thank God I didn't have nothing to say because I didn't know what I was doing anyway. I didn't know anything about it. And, but you know, we don't always make room. A lot of you right now, you're crowding him out, everything in the world but him. So why don't you just make room for Jesus this year, okay? And, this time of year, there's a lot of activities going on, a lot of festivities, a lot of specific times, you know, you're so busy, sometimes you don't even know what it's all about. But Christmas, number one, I think is a family time. Families get together. Even as a lost family, we got together. We ate a meal together. Nobody prayed. Nobody read the Christmas story. But we got together and we ate a meal together and family and friends would come, you know. Mom would cook. My mom was best cook in Lancaster and people come from all over. All my friends called her Mama Roddy, you know, and she'd come cook for them and it's time for family. People get together and a lot of people now get so busy, they even work on Christmas now. And so it's family time. Then I thought, well, it's a feasting time, you know, dinners and supper. Boy, we had a feast last night, had a ham. I'm glad I'm a Baptist. I can eat ham. And, man, we had a bunch of ham and that sweet honeyed ham, you know, and there was some dead chicken there. And I think there's some leftover turkey or something. I don't know what all that stuff was. But then somebody come along with dessert and said, you're going to eat some of this. And I think I offended them. I said, if I eat one more bite, it's coming up. I can't eat no more. I think I offended them, but it is a time for feasting. Then it's time for giving. It's time for giving. I like seeing all these young people sit on the front row. That one I'm going to wake up if he goes to sleep. And this one over here too. But I'm glad to see young people on the front row. And it's a time of giving. I didn't learn that until after I got saved. I wasn't a giver, and a lot of you men are not givers, you know, but it's a time of giving. We exchange gifts, recognizing his birth and the gift of God through Christ Jesus. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But you know what? None of those things are going to be settled until you get some other things settled. The family time will turn into a torture time, you know. And the feast and the time, it'll turn into a drunken time if you don't watch out, you know, things like that. And time of giving, until you get some things settled, okay? Turn to Luke 18, Luke chapter 18. This is a time of giving. But I want you to know some things, okay? You got to get some things settled before you'll be able to have the right kind of Christmas. None of these things, none of them is going to satisfy you. Luke 18. I remember we'd have Christmas parties and go to all kind of places we shouldn't have went and done all kind of things we shouldn't have done in the name of Christmas. And it never satisfies. It never satisfies. Matter of fact, we'd wake up the next day sometimes sorry that we did what we did. Amen. 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 And so I want to read you a story of somebody else. Now, they had no room in the inn for Jesus. They had no room. Didn't want him. Can you imagine turning away a little teenage pregnant girl that come to your house and said, we need a place to sleep. And a mean old innkeeper says, well, you can't sleep in here. But you can go out there and sleep in that nasty old barn out there with the cows and the goats. and the manure and the straw and the dirt. You can go out there and sleep. Had no room in the inn. Is anybody keeping nursery? Dang, am I keeping nursery? Okay. And so, listen, you must do some things to have a satisfying Christmas. Look at Luke 18. In Luke 18, verse 18, a certain ruler asked him, saying, "Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and mother." Of course he knew that. He was a Jew. He's been taught that all his life. Verse 21, he said, "All these things have I kept from my youth up." Now here's a good young man. Good man. I mean, he's really lived a clean life. Did you notice that? Lived a good life. He said, "All these I've done. I've done every one of these since I was young." Now, when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, "Yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast, distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasures in heaven. And come, follow me." When he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. When Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it's easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." And they that heard it said, "Who then can be saved?" In verse 27, he said, "The things which are impossible with men are possible with God." Amen. Now turn to Luke 21:14. Luke 21:14. "Settle it therefore in your hearts." Settle it. Just that first part I want to talk about just for a few minutes. Settle it therefore in your hearts. Now, there's some things we have to get settled in our heart in order to have the abundant life that Jesus Christ promised us. And it doesn't come natural. It doesn't come natural. It goes against the grain of who we are and how we were born. We were born wrong. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. David said in Nick, "Willing to give up everything to follow you." That goes against everything that we feel in our flesh. But he told that rich young man, he looked at him, he was sorry for him. He was sorry for him. "You got all that. You've lived a good life. And yet, you need to get rid of all that because that's what you're serving. You would not serve me if you had that." Now, I'm not telling you he'd make you go sell your house or your car or your four-wheeler or your mini bike or your go-kart or your Maserati or your convertible. But I'm telling you this, until we get it settled that he's the greatest thing we could ever have, we're not going to be satisfied.
Yes, sir.
Until we make room for him in our end.
Right.
Amen.
Real quickly, we're not like the rich young ruler who just turned away because he loved the riches of this life and this world better than to follow eternal life. Those of us who have received Jesus Christ as our Savior, we have it settled.
Amen.
March 5th, 1978, Eastside Baptist Church, 6th pew on the left-hand side. You've heard this. 300 verse of "Just As I Am" without one plea. At least that's what it felt like. I broke out and came down that aisle, and as I was coming down, all the guilt was falling off of me, all the hurt, all the darkness. By the time I got in front, I was weeping like a baby, and I didn't know it. I was already saved by then, but I had to have somebody take me through the scriptures and show me what the scripture says. Admit you a sinner, believe on Christ, confess it with your mouth. I received him as my Lord and Savior. I got it settled that day. I'll never have to do that again. Wake her up. I'll never have to do that again. Let me tell you something, young people. If you ever get it settled, if you ever just make up your mind, no matter what happens, I have decided to follow Jesus. Hey, look, you get that settled? And it doesn't matter what people say to you or about you.
Right.
It doesn't matter what you have or you don't have.
Right.
You're not, well, hey, you're more concerned about him than you are what anybody thinks or whatever they have. You're more concerned about living and loving Jesus Christ than anything else. And because Jesus told that man, if this is the only way you're going to get this settled, you got to get rid of all of that.
Yes.
And come follow me exclusively. Now salvation is inclusive. That means anyone can come. Whosoever will, let him drink of the water of life freely, he said. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He said, that's inclusive. Anybody can do that. But exclusive is this. Exclusive means this. Only those who receive him as their Savior will go to heaven.
Right.
Everybody ain't going to go to heaven.
Amen.
Those slaves used to sing that to their master. They'd be out there working in the cotton field around Chester down here somewhere, and they'd be singing, everybody talking about heaven ain't going to go. Amen. Amen. And listen, until we get that settled, we can have thousands of Christmas celebrations, hundreds of presents, all kind of parties and feasts and all this stuff, and you will never be satisfied completely until you make room in your end for him. Now, there's some things we need to get settled. All of us. Number one, the Word of God's quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. Psalm 119 says, thy word is forever settled in heaven.
Amen.
You need to get this settled. Is the Bible the word of God or is it not?
Amen.
We're not saved by feelings. We're not saved by our emotions.
Yep.
Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God.
Sure.
And as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. And the only reason we know that is because we read the Bible and we believe the Bible to be the infallible, inerrant, inspired word of God. Every jot and tittle, and like the old mountain preacher said, I believe it's the word of God from the kiver to the kiver.
Amen.
You got to get that settled.
Yeah.
Because see, without the Word of God, you're not going to be convicted of your sin. Yeah. And without the Word of God, you're not going to be converted, because faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And without the Bible, you don't know you're a sinner. And without the Bible, if you know you're a sinner, you don't know how to be saved without the Bible. And then once you get saved, after you get saved, you're not going to know how to live a victorious Christian life without the Word of God. So that's the first thing you have to get settled, because your faith is not in mama's religion or grandma's religion or grandpa's religion. Your faith is in Jesus Christ, and the only way you know about that is through the Word of God.
Amen.
Get that settled.
Good.
I grew up lost. I didn't know any Christians. I didn't know any, hardly any good people. But I knew this. They told me that Bible was the Word of God. We had one on our coffee table at the house. I bet y'all don't even have a coffee table, you poor little thing. You have a coffee table? You got a coffee table? Oh my goodness. Do you have a coffee table?
Yeah.
I didn't think so. I ain't gonna ask you. You don't even know what I'm talking about. On that coffee table was a big old family Bible. Y'all remember those?
Yeah.
We never read it. I didn't know what it was. I knew it was the Bible. They told me it was the Word of God. And Mama would put baby locks of hair in it, you know. And somebody found four-leaf clover. They put that in there, you know. And births and deaths and weddings and all that. In that family Bible. But I'm going to tell you something. There's something about that book that scared me. Even growing up, not knowing God. That book, they said that was God's book.
Yes.
And even as a lost sinner, I felt strange handling that book. Why? Because it's alive. You say, oh, it's just book pages with print on it. No, sir. I preached down at the Chain Gang when they still called it the Chain Gang. Now it's the County Hotel. But I used to preach at the Chain Gang. For years I preached out there at the Chain Gang. And we'd go in that old cement block building. You had to push the windows out and get air. They didn't have no air conditioning in there, you know. And I'd go in there and I'd get those old hardened prisoners to come out. And I had a portable pulpit. I'd roll that thing out in the middle, you know. And I'd open the Bible. And they didn't have nothing to be scared of me. I might have weighed 150 pounds. We talking about big old burly, mean men, you know. All kinds of men. I'd go in there and I'd preach and I'd see those men start weeping and crying. I'd preach the word of God. They'd weep. They'd cry every once in a while. One gets saved.
Amen.
I didn't do that. They wasn't scared of me.
Right.
They wasn't scared of me. It's the word of God that did that.
Amen.
And we have to get that settled. I preached, I preached in a nursing home one time. Saw a 99-year-old blind man come forward weeping like a little baby and get saved at 99 years. Now the Bible did that. I didn't do that. You young people, listen to me. If reading the Bible and the Word of God and the preaching the Word of God and the teaching the Word of God, if that bothers you, that's proof it's alive.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. We got to get that settled. And by the way, in this church, we got that settled.
Amen.
We're not looking for another Bible. We got one. I just read out of it.
Amen.
We don't need 114 English translations. That's nothing but confusion. Amen. I better go on. I might have hit a nerve on that one. Listen. Not only that, but we need to get it settled. Is there not a heaven? Yes, there is. And if there's a heaven, is there not a hell? God would not be holy. God would not be just. God would not be righteous if there was a heaven and no hell. Or vice versa. But God is holy.
Yes.
And God is righteous. And so, did you know that if God let everybody go to heaven, they'd turn it into hell?
Yes.
Now we live in the South. Some of y'all moved from foreign lands like Michigan and New York and things like that. And, but down here, down here, we knew. Hey, let me tell you something. I knew it. I didn't know anything about the Bible. I didn't know anything about church. I probably went to church 5 times before I was 21 years old. 21 before I ever heard the gospel that God loved me and wanted to save me. But I knew if there was a God in heaven that I was going straight to hell when I died. I didn't know what saved was. I never heard that till I was 21. But I knew there were some people that ought to go to heaven. There were some people that ought to go to hell.
Yeah.
I knew that. I knew, Brother Billy, if some of us went to heaven, we'd ruin it.
Yeah.
Amen.
Come on now. Yeah.
And we got to get that settled.
Yeah.
And here's something else you got to get settled. Everybody has to make a choice. You want to go to heaven or you want to go to hell? That's what makes God good. He give you a choice.
That's right.
We got to realize that. All right, let's get a little more personal on that. That means your husband's got to do that.
Yeah.
Yes.
That means your wife's got to do that.
Oh, yeah.
That means your children
yeah.
have to do that. Your grandchildren have to do that. Did you know a lot of... I better get off of that. I'm fixing to say something. Listen.
That's right.
Amen.
There's a lot of people comforting their loved ones right straight to hell. They won't let God deal with them. They run in and rescue them, every little old thing. They run in and get in God's way. When what it took to get you to God was tribulation, conviction, a broken heart, tears and weeping, and you don't want your loved ones to weep, and you rescue them, and one day they're going to end up in heaven or hell, and you might be the problem. I'm just telling you. People don't want their kids to cry anymore. Crying's good.
Yeah.
I remember I hadn't been saved long, and we was coming back from my mother-in-law's house in Fort Mill. It was on Sunday. We'd went to church that morning. We were going back that Sunday night. And Suzanne, Becky's over here, and Suzanne is my oldest daughter. Charity wasn't born yet, and they were just, you know, 3 or 4 years old. I can't remember. But that's back when you had real cars, you know, you had seats like couches, you know, and didn't have no stinking seat belts, you know, and didn't wear helmets and elbow pads and knee pads and goggles and face masks. But I'll never forget, Suzanne stood up in that back seat. Don't be surprised they laid up in the window too.
Yes.
I can't believe that. Well, we're still alive.
Yeah.
I've never heard anybody, any kid flying out a back window through the front windshield. It's those that seatbelts get killed. But anyway. But they walk around the back someday. And her little old, I guess it's 4 years old, whatever it was, she leaned up over that front seat. I think we were sitting at the stoplight. She said, "Daddy, I don't want to go to church anymore." Now, we hadn't been going long. I hadn't been saved long. I said, "Why, baby?" She said, "It makes you and mommy cry." I teared up.
Yes.
I said, "Baby, that's good crying. That ain't bad crying." She said something real deep. She said, "Okay." Listen, there's a heaven and there's a hell, and you better get that settled, and you better get your children settled and your grandchildren settled, your husband, your wife, and everybody else. If you love them, you will get that settled. And by the way, why are you celebrating Christmas if he didn't come down from heaven? And why are you celebrating Christmas if he didn't come to save us from our sins? Amen. And then you need to get this settled. Jesus is the answer. He's the answer to whatever your problem is. He is the answer. You say, "Well, I've got this 24-step program." All you need is one step.
Amen.
Turn to Him. Amen. There's a lot of us old dirty rotten sinners in here, and they told us about programs. Well, I got the programs called a Bible program. It's, "I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish." And he said, "If you'll come unto me, I'll set you free." Amen. 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 That's your program right there. I tell you your program. Sunday school, that's your program. Preaching Sunday morning, that's your program. Preaching Sunday night. Bible study, prayer meeting on Wednesday night. That's your program. That'll set you free. Amen. Amen. You get so busy learning about Him and loving Him and serving Him, you won't have time to be drawn away by this old world. Y'all young people, listen to me. We have to drag in the church. All these kids up here have drug problems. They had to drag them into church this morning. They'll have to drag them back. They drug them into church this morning. They'll drag them back in tonight. And some of you men do too. But anyway, you got to get that settled. Lost people still go to hell, and Jesus is the only answer.
Amen.
But wait a minute, preacher. I've been praying for my husband to quit drinking for 20 years. If he just quit drinking, we'd be all right. No, that's not going to finish it.
That's right.
Jesus is his answer.
Right.
If he'll come to Jesus, he'll quit drinking.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hello.
Yeah.
Well, I've been praying for my teenage daughter, my teenage son, that they quit running around with that crowd. You get them to Jesus, the crowd will lead them.
Yeah. Right.
He's the answer. You make room for him, and the rest of them won't have no room in that teenager's life. Y'all still with me?
Yes, sir.
You thought I was going to preach about donkeys and cows and chickens at the end. Listen. Listen. You need to get this settled. Turn to 1 John chapter 5. And I'm just about through, and the Methodists already saying their last prayer before they go to the steakhouse. 1 John chapter 5. Look at it with me real quick. 1 John chapter 5. That's in not the Gospel of John, in the back. 1 John. 1 John chapter 5. Look at verse 10. 1 John 5 verse 10. "He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself." In other words, you got it settled. "He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record." That's the word of God. Yeah. "Believeth not the record that God gave of his Son." Y'all listening to me, young people?
Yes.
"He that hath the Son hath life." Right now. I'm not waiting to be saved. I'm saved. I'm not waiting to go to heaven, but my place is already reserved in heaven. Right. I hath. It's present tense. Right now. "He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." In other words, you have eternal death. You're a walking dead man. Ephesians chapter 1, I think verse chapter 1 or 2, I can't remember, he said, and ye who were dead in trespasses and sin, hath he quickened.
Yes.
Quick, you're a bit down, you quick. The live part. He's made you alive. You were dead, now you're alive.
Yes.
Now you gotta get that settled. Go on, read some more. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know.
Sure.
Not hope so, think so, believe so, working to get there. No, no, but that you may know, not believe, but know that you have eternal life. And that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. That's how you know you got eternal life. Jesus is the answer.
Amen.
There is no other answer. Some of us have tried a lot of different things. And we found out Jesus is the only answer.
Amen.
And is that not what we're supposed to be celebrating at Christmas time? If he's not the answer, why did God send him down from heaven to be born and live a life we can't live and die a death we ought to die and then raise himself up from the grave the third day to prove that God had accepted the sacrifice. And he now sits down on the right hand of the Father interceding for us. He's our advocate. He's our lawyer with God. And when we sin, the old devil runs up there and says, did you see what he did? And Jesus says, Father, I've already paid for that. Look here. I've already paid for that. That's what Christmas is about.
Amen.
He's more than a baby in a manger.
Right.
Amen.
Amen. Yes.
Get that settled. And then you know what you'll do? You'll do the opposite of what the rich young ruler did.
Yeah.
He forsook Christ to follow riches.
Mm-hmm.
We ought to forsake all to follow Christ.
That's right.
Now Cheryl just got back from the Holy Land. I can tell she's got all kind of glow on her. She's done seen all these buildings and tombs and all this stuff, you know. Over there the dirt feels holy, you know. Help her, Lord. Nobody else will. Listen. Listen. But there's only one thing that's ever going to settle your heart and your mind.
Right.
And that's Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now I wish I could go over there. Maybe one day we'll get up a crowd and go over there. As soon as my wife gets over fear of flying and she gets motion sick on boats. So as soon as they make another way of transportation or road or bridge, maybe we can get over there. But even if you go to the Holy Land, you go to the holiest place in the Holy Land without Jesus Christ.
That's right.
See, what we have to do, we have to forsake all, everything we think about God. We have to forsake everything that we believe and hope and all these things. And we have to look to Jesus Christ. We say, Jesus Christ, I'm accepting you as my Lord and Savior.
Amen.
Get that settled. There's a lot of people go to church. They're halfway in. They have one foot in the kingdom of God. But they don't want to take that next step. Now they believe that Jesus is real. They believe he lived a sinless life, rose from the dead, the virgin birth. They believe all that. They got their foot, just like that rich young ruler. He was right there at Jesus.
Yes, sir.
He heard him preach. But, listen, as soon as Jesus turned around and looked at him, he knew what his problem was.
Yeah.
And by the way, he knows what your problem is too.
Come on, man.
He knows what's holding that next step back. And he looked at him, he said, well, you might be a pretty good guy. You did all that. You kept those commandments. But there's one thing you're not doing. He said, what's that? He said, leave all that stuff that's so near and dear to you, your money.
Yes.
Give it away. And I'll take you. Come follow me.
Amen.
And that step went from there back to there.
Yes.
I can't do that. Now, it's not that money's bad. The love of money's root of all evil, not money. Money's necessary. You gotta buy stuff to live. I mean, you'd be skinnier than you are right now, but what for money? And, but look, the problem ain't the money. The problem is what's standing between right. you yes. and Christ. You can't bring that with you.
No. Amen.
Well, I'm a Christian alcoholic. Then you're not a Christian.
Right.
Well, you're condemning me. No, I'm telling you, you love that stuff more than you love him, or you'd leave it.
Yes.
Well, I'm a Christian drug addict. Well, I'm a Christian. I saw this thing one time. This woman said she was a Christian stripper. She did. She did. Yeah. I'm telling you, people want to carry their sins with them. And he says, no, you're going to have to leave that. Because you love that more than you love me. And if you love me, you'll follow me. But if you love that and me, you're going to follow that. And the wages of sin is death.
Yes.
And there's joy in sin for a season, but in the end it says it bringeth forth death.
Yes.
That's going to kill you spiritually, physically, financially, mentally, emotionally. It will kill you. There's people in the hospital right now that think they're Christians. They're in the hospital because they've ruined their health on drugs and alcohol and all other kind of stuff. Because when they made that profession of faith, they did not leave all. He even goes on falling down. He says, you have to love me more than you love your mama and your daddy. Your children. Your in-laws. Your husband. Your father. You say, well, God expects me to leave them. No, God expects you to put him first, Jesus Christ first, and let him work out what's going to happen with them.
Amen.
Instead of saying, Lord, I'm going to get saved by bringing this one with me. No, that one's got to come on their own. You can't do that. And by the way, you get your old sorry boyfriend don't want to be saved, he ain't going to be a good boyfriend, is he? Because he's living for himself. You get you a Christian boyfriend that loves Jesus more than anything else, you'll have the best boyfriend you ever had. Because he'll treat you like Jesus would treat you. Ain't that right, Devin? Ain't that right, brother? Right? Say amen right here. Come on. And she's sitting right there. My goodness. There ain't going to be no Thomas Day for you if you keep that up. So he says, forsake all. The rich young ruler wouldn't do it. Let's get something else settled. You cannot separate Christianity and church.
Amen.
You can't separate. But, preacher, I go down the river and I worship God down there in creation. You're worshiping creation. Go back and read Romans chapter 1. You've turned to God. Listen, you've turned the truth of God into a lie. Well, preacher, you know I can't give this up because I make a lot of money doing this. Well, then you're loving that more than you love him. Well, I can't go to church because, and I don't go to church because. This one fellow told me, he said, I won't go to church for all the hypocrites down there. I said, why not? I'd rather go to church with them than go to hell with them. This other fellow told me, he said, preacher, I would come down there, but you don't know how bad I am. I said, oh, he said, you wouldn't want me sitting. Some of those people wouldn't want me to sit beside them because they don't know what I've done. I said, let me tell you something. In my church, you wouldn't want to sit beside some people if you knew what they did. Hebrews 10:25, forsake not the assembling ourselves together.
Yes.
As the manner of some is, even so much the more so. You're the more. As you see that day approaching. Amen. Good preaching, Thomas. Help me out back there, brother. You ought to get your church membership settled. By the way, you don't know how many people call me and send me cards about the people in this church, how much they love this church and love these people and how they were there for them at the hospital and they were there for them at a disaster or there for them in a heartache or there with them when they had a need or something. That's church. You see, a lot of times people call me, I'm the poor man preacher, so they'll call me to preach funerals of people that have no pastor or church. And you know what I say? It's sad. Brother David, it's sad that they wait till the very end of their life to invite the church into their life. Somebody gets cancer or something, or they died or something, you know, they'll call the old preacher and I'll run over there and I try to encourage them a little bit. I try to get them to the Lord. I try to read them some comforting scriptures. And when I leave, before I leave, I usually say this, you know, 20 years ago you could have called me and got every bit of this comfort and hope and peace and help. You robbed yourself 20 years, 20 years of what the people down there at that church would have encouraged you and loved you and endured all your trial and tribulation with you. You can't take Christianity from church and church from Christianity.
Amen.
Besides that, Jesus died for the church.
Amen.
Get that settled. Last, I'm through. You need to get your calling settled. He said, make your calling and your election sure. Get it settled. Now, let me tell you what you're called to. Number one, you're called to be saved. Everybody is.
Right.
Whosoever, you're called to be saved. Get that settled. You need to get saved. Number two, you're called to join a local church. Get baptized. Make a public profession. That's how you make your public profession right there. We bury that old dead sinner and raise him up a renewed creature representing the death, burial, and resurrection. Number three, read your Bible.
Yeah.
Some of you kids don't even carry Bibles. Some adults don't carry Bibles. Read your Bible every day. Amen. Amen. You'll be weak if you don't. You can be saved, but you're going to be weak. I'm telling you. Be stronger if you... And then after you get to doing that, God will call you to do something. It may be he calls you to lead your husband to Christ. It may be he calls you to lead your wife to Christ or your children or your grandchildren. He may call you to go next door and try to win that person to Christ. He may call you to be a good Christian down there on the job and be a witness where you work or where you go to school. All those are callings. Every calling is not to be pastor. Every calling is not to be a preacher. We're all preachers, by the way.
Amen.
We're preaching something everywhere we go.
Right.
Amen. I'm bad about speeding, so I don't put the church name on my bumper. I'm bad about saying, Lord, forgive me, help me.
Oh, yeah.
Help me. What are you laughing at? You got a sports car. Listen, don't tell me you don't speed. I was riding with this fellow one time, he was Nazarene. He said, preacher, you're speeding. I said, I'm in a hurry, man. He said, yeah, but the law says 55. I said, you're a Nazarene. You're under the law. I'm a Baptist. We're free from the law. Forgive me. Forgive me, Lord. Look, if you'll get the Bible settled, heaven and hell settled, lost people still go to hell or heaven settled, if you get it settled that Jesus is the answer to all your problems, if you get your salvation settled, you forsake all else to follow him settled, you get the church membership settled, God will call you to do something. I don't know what it is, but he'll call you. Amen. And then once he calls you, get it settled. This is what I'm going to do for the rest of my life until he calls me to do something else.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Some of you Sunday school teachers need to get that settled.
Amen.
And listen, as a preacher, I had to decide one day, lay it on the altar. I said, God, I love my wife. I love my children. I love my family. But God, I'm going to do what you want me to do. And I'm going to go where you want me to go. And whatever it takes, Lord. And there's been some hard roads in that. Some real hard roads in that. And there's been some tough times. But listen, you will not regret not 1 minute of getting that settled.
Amen.
Now you get these things settled. You know what? Come Christmas, you'll have a wonderful time.
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Yes.
Amen. Are you settled? You ready? Now, he's come one time. He's coming back. He's coming back. Are you settled enough to look at him when he comes? Or will you be ashamed at his coming? If you're not saved, we're going to give the invitation. I want you to run forward. We'll get somebody to take a Bible. You can go in my office. And that person will show you about four or five scriptures, how to be saved, and they'll help you pray and ask the Lord to save you. If you are saved, you don't have things settled, you don't need me. I'm not a pope. There's no hope in the pope. You need Jesus. You need to come down here at the altar and say, Lord, I need to get this settled, and I'm gonna start today. I don't know how. I don't know how it's gonna work out, but you've convicted me about this, and I want to get it settled, Lord, so help. And then get up believing he's gonna do something. Let's stand. Father, thank you.